Good to be here with you again today. My name is Brian Jerby, if we haven't met. I'm just about to finish my seminary degree. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you here today and to open God's Word. But before we get started, I printed out a few pages, and really, we're going to talk a little bit about one anothering today. These are all the verses or the scripture passages about one anothering. Now, if you would rather have a digital version, give me your email and I'll email it to you. But I'm going to put these right here in case, I just printed a few, in case someone wants to look through those. Our text today is Psalm 125. So as you're turning there, let me just give you a little bit of context. Psalm 125 is one of the Psalms of Ascent. Okay, there's the Psalms of Ascent are Psalms 120 through 124. And these are the Psalms that the faithful Israelites would sing together as they made their way to Jerusalem for various festivals, such as Passover, for instance. But as you might know, Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level. So the pilgrims would travel together and they would ascend to Jerusalem. And as they approached Jerusalem, they would see Jerusalem high up on a mountain, the city of God. And as they went, they would look up to the scenery or look at the scenery around them, and it would give them imagery. It would give them an imagery in their mind that they would sing about in the Psalms of Ascent. Okay, so that imagery then would lead them to fix their eyes on the prize, which really, in the big picture, the prize is God Himself, and to enter the full and final presence of God. That was the prize, the ultimate prize to which they looked. And so, reading now from God's Word, Psalm 125, keep those things in mind. This is the word of the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous. Let the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But to those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes, open our ears to see wonderful things from your word, and help us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I grew up in Kansas. Anybody ever been to Kansas here? You know, it's the place where there's 1 million, 10 million, I don't know how many million wheat fields and one tree. But in the summer, my family would head for Boulder, Colorado, because that's where our cousins lived. And of course, it was a big event, but it was a six-hour drive, okay? And you're driving across these plains, flat. There's nothing there. And, you know, I'm a little kid, so what are you kind of messing around a little bit in the back seat, and then every once in a while my head would pop over and say, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And my parents would go, "No, it's still a long time. Just settle down in the back seat and do some of the stuff that you brought to do. You know, 17 seconds later, I'm like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I kept doing that. And then at one point, my head would pop over that seat, and in the distance, I would see arising out of nowhere, seemingly, off of the plains of Kansas, were the Rocky Mountains. And then I didn't have to ask anymore, because that was all the proof that I needed. That was all the encouragement that I needed, that I was gonna make my destination. I was gonna arrive. We were almost there. As Christians, we're on a journey. We're on a journey together as the family of God. Not to see our cousins, but to actually see God, to be in His presence. But it's so easy to get weary along the way, to get tired, to get sidetracked, to get distracted. What we need to do is to look up. We need to look up and see not a physical place, but we need to look up and get a fresh vision of who it is that we are traveling to see. Who not only is at the end of our journey, but has also promised to be with us every step of the way. What this psalm shows us is what every pilgrim, you, me, if we're Christians, we're pilgrims, what every pilgrim is faced with, and what every pilgrim of every age from the fall until now, what we need. We need to look up and see the greatness of God, and to be encouraged and to be reassured that in light of the greatness of God, we will reach our destination. And that's exactly what I want us to do today, what I want you to do today and every day forward from here on out, is what God is calling us in His Word through these Psalms of Ascent to do, is to get a renewed sense, a renewed vision of God, our rock, our ruler, and our redeemer. And so those are the three points that we're going to focus on today. And so let's start with looking up to God, our rock. And we find that in verses 1 and 2. As the pilgrims drew near to Jerusalem, they would look up and see Mount Zion. They would see Mount Zion on the horizon. And even in the Old Testament, Mount Zion ultimately was figuratively the spiritual dwelling place of God. Jeremiah 31:6 tells us this. It says, "Come, let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God." They would see the mountain in the distance, and they would be encouraged. They would be encouraged that they were going to reach their destination, which is the presence of God. And also you read here that those who trust in the Lord cannot be moved like the mountain, like the rock, right? Cannot be moved, but will abide forever. So be encouraged. Be encouraged, Church of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged. You who trust in the Lord, what does it say about you? You're like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And then in verse 2, not only are the pilgrims on the mountain, on the rock, but they are also, as they look out, you see in verse 2, that they see that they're surrounded by the mountains of the Lord. It's almost like His arms were around them, supporting them, embracing them. His arms of love, giving them peace and security. And that's what this psalm is all about. Security in God, our rock. The Bible tells us that we too, as Christians, have come to Mount Zion, but in Jesus Christ. In Him, we no longer have to have a physical place called Mount Zion to see, even though that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? We have an even greater spiritual place to see ourselves as dwelling in, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. 1 Peter 2:6 says this. Peter is quoting Isaiah 28:16, and he says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." So as our text says, those who trust, those who believe, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They can't be moved. They abide forever. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, right? The rock on whom we place our trust, and we are standing on the rock. We are standing on Jesus Christ, His presence as Christians. And so the question is, are you a Christian? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ as the rock of your salvation? Are you staking your entire eternal destiny on the solid rock, the sure foundation? That's the question. And if you are, here's the promise. Nothing, brothers and sisters, can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, the rock. If you are in Christ, then you can say with Psalm 18, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." And you've sung this song, haven't you? "The Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted." Those are glorious truths. Those are exciting. Those should give us chills as Christians. So when we get a fresh sense of God, our rock, then we're reassured. Those who trust in the Lord are standing on the rock. They're standing in the security of Mount Zion, cannot be moved. And as we look out and see God's arms surrounding us, embracing us, we're held secure and cannot be separated from Him. But not only do we need to look up to God, our rock, but we also see from this psalm that we need to look up to God, our ruler. Now you might say, "Oh wait, I see in the little outline, that's supposed to be verses 3. How do you get that, Brian?" Well, look at verse 3. "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong." So if the scepter of wickedness will not be on the land allotted to the righteous, what scepter will be? The scepter of righteousness, right? The scepter that Jesus Christ holds in His hand even now. What the psalmist is saying is this: He rules us, but not with a rod of iron, not with an iron fist, like a human ruler might, a monarch or a despot, something like that. No, he holds out His scepter of love. He holds out His scepter of righteousness to us. And the King, in all His beauty, holds out that scepter to us and extends to us love and extends to us His righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ. No longer will we, the people of God, no longer will we be ruled by wickedness. No, we'll be ruled by righteousness. Because in love, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to free us from slavery to sin. Our own personal exodus, right? To free us from slavery to sin. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Colossians 1:13 says this, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. It is the righteous rule of Jesus Christ that sets us free from the rule of darkness, from the rule of wickedness, and we gladly submit ourselves to the loving King, don't we? He's our captain. He's our leader. He's the founder of our faith. He's our head. He is our beloved. Look up to Jesus Christ, O church, and see your rock and see your ruler. Be empowered, be invigorated for the journey ahead, because we're going to see the King. Did you ever sing that song, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King? That's something to say hallelujah about, that we will be with the King in his presence fully and finally forever. And then in verses 4 and 5, we look up to see God, our Redeemer. Verse 4 says, do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their heart. Here the psalmist it's a prayer, right? The psalmist is praying for an increasing fullness of redemption. You know, redemption is a big term, right? Redemption has been done in the past. God is redeeming us right now and making us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And then finally, when we meet him face to face on that day, we will be fully redeemed because we will be like him. We will see him as he is. And that's the goal of every true pilgrim. We want to see Jesus Christ face to face. Ephesians 4:30 says that we have been sealed by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. We have been sealed for the day of redemption. So yes, we have been redeemed. We are being redeemed even now as we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But we're also sealed, finalized, assured of that full and final redemption where there will be no more sin, no more sorrow. Every tear will be wiped away. What a glorious thought. What a glorious day, for we will be like Jesus Christ. Fully and finally. But right now, we're on a pilgrimage. Right now, we're not quite there yet, right? We're not quite there yet. Part of our redemption, part of being redeemed, means that we are actively persevering in the faith. Okay, we're not wandering about aimlessly. We've got our eye on the prize. You know, I told you that I grew up in Kansas, but I also worked on a farm in Kansas. Did a lot of plowing. And when you plow, you are on one side of this humongous field, and you can see the other end. And what you do, if you want to plow a straight furrow, if you've ever done this, you know this is exactly the case. If you want to plow a straight furrow, you fix your eyes on a point at the end of the field, and you like, do not take your eyes off of that point. Because as soon as you take your eyes off of that point, you're going to go crooked. You're going to go off the mark. You're going to veer off the path. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. That we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ so that we have our goal in front of us and that we keep our eyes on Him so we don't veer off the path. Because we want to see our rock, our ruler, and our Redeemer. So in Psalm 125, there's a warning too, isn't there? Look at verse 5. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Now remember, this is a group of pilgrims. And they're singing this together. And there's songs of encouragement, but there's also messages of warning. Don't veer off the path. Don't you know if you don't stay with us, you're not going to make it to Jerusalem. Stay with us. Keep your eye on the prize. Stay on the known course. And you might say, well, why do we need warnings in Scripture? Because there's plenty of warnings, right? Why do we need warnings in Scripture? Well, the same reason we need signs on the road. Signs on the road are meant to keep us on the road. Slippery and wet, slow down, do not enter. You know, don't take that exit. You know, stay on 485. Keep going in circles. The purpose of road signs is to help get us to our destination. And some of those road signs are warnings. But they're meant by God to keep us on the path. And that's why we have warnings in the Scripture. This is not the only warning in Scripture. If you read the book of Hebrews, warnings, warnings, warnings. You think, why do we need warnings? Well, that's the reason. To keep us on the path. To keep us persevering in the right way. It also might be any teachers here. But surely you remember when you're in elementary school and you went on a field trip. What does the teacher always say to the group? Stay with the group. Stay with the group. We don't want anyone to get lost. Well, that's exactly what the pilgrims on the pathway were saying. Stay with the group. Stay with the group. Let's go together. Let's sing these psalms as we ascend up to the God of our salvation. These are the ways and means, or some of the ways and the means to keep us on the path. God has given those to us as a blessing. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God. What a Savior. God, our rock, our ruler, and our Redeemer. So let's apply this now by asking some questions of ourselves. So the question that you need to ask yourself is, am I a pilgrim? Is Jesus Christ the rock of my salvation? Am I standing firm on the foundation that He has laid? Are you trusting in Him? I'm not asking if you walked an aisle or prayed a prayer or raised a hand or joined a church or ascribe to a set of doctrinal beliefs. I'm asking you right now, this very moment, are you standing on the rock? There is no other way. There is no other path. There is no other one you can go to for your salvation. Jesus Christ is that rock. And then secondly, are you firmly trusting in God as your ruler? Is He the king of your life? Does He determine the direction to which you are to go? Is He the trajectory of your life? Do you have your eyes fixed on the prize? And that prize is God Himself. Is He your ruler? And then, of course, finally, is Jesus Christ your Redeemer? Has He delivered you from the domain of darkness? I pray He has. If He has, then He is now, here's the promise, He is now actively preserving you on the road. to salvation, full and finally. He is preserving you so that you persevere, right? And there's that sovereignty of God and responsibility of man, kind of like the words of Paul. What does he say? He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's exactly what the psalmist is writing about. Do good to us, O Lord, in our hearts, to keep us on the path. To keep us on the path. In Hebrews 12, I think that this helps us as we see that we need to stay on this path together. Hebrews 12 says this, and I like the J.B. Phillips translation. It's not always good, but the J.B. Phillips translation really gets it down to where we are. It says this, let us strip off everything that hinders us, as well as the sin which dogs our feet, trips us up. And let us run the race that we have to run with endurance, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the source and the goal of our faith. Is Jesus Christ the goal of your faith? Can you think of nothing better in your life than to know Jesus Christ? I pray you do. Because then the prayer at the end of the psalm is for you. Do you see the prayer at the end of the psalm? Peace be upon Israel. Shalom. The pilgrims were praying this for each other, that they were praying for the whole group, that the whole group would achieve shalom, peace with God. Where will the people of God find shalom? Where will you find shalom, peace? Where will anyone find shalom? We will find shalom in Christ alone. Paul, and it was read for the scripture reading, Paul in Ephesians 2:14 says this, that Jesus Christ himself is our peace. Praise God. So look up. Look up, Church of God. Church of Jesus Christ, look up. For there in heaven, Jesus Christ sits on the throne, ruling and reigning the entire universe on your behalf. And all things will work together for good to those who love God, to the called according to his purpose. And his purpose is to fully and finally unite us to himself in his very presence. So look up. Find shalom. Find peace in Jesus Christ, for he is our rock, our ruler, and our redeemer. Fix your gaze, fix your eyes on him, and don't get distracted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we can't do this alone. The scripture repeatedly tells us that we need each other. We need each other. The body of Christ has many members, and the members need to be addressing each other's spiritual health, especially. And we call that one anothering. Do you know that in the New Testament itself, there may be more, but at least 35 times we, as the people of God, are exhorted to do something for one another. And of course, you know the most famous one, right? What is it? Love one another, right? But guess what? There's at least 34 more one another's. One another's. Another one in Ephesians chapter 4 is submit to one another. Now, submit is like, oh, that's a terrible word. But It's not what you think. Submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. That's what he said. That's his exact words. That means that we set aside our self-interest. This is a very self-interested society, a very self-interested culture. Well, to be countercultural, we do what Jesus Christ says, and we set aside our self-interest and prefer one another. Okay? That's another thing, another one another. In order that we may strengthen one another, build up one another, so that we can stay in the path, we can keep the course, and we can finally arrive at our destination. So no matter how old or how young you are, no matter if you're a big kid or a little kid, no matter if you're single or you're married, no matter if you've got children, grandchildren, or you don't, we're all called to one another, each other, to one another. And it takes a lot of one anothering to arrive safely at our destination. We are called as the body of Christ to minister to one another. And so here's one way that we can encourage one another in this day of high anxiety. So much anxiety in our culture. High anxiety. How do we minister to one another? Well, we can speak the words of Scripture. The words of God Himself. Isaiah 26:3 says this: "You, O Lord, keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And we can encourage one another, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation is at work, or in your friendships, or at school, or your health, or whatever it is, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Keep your mind stayed on Him. Because that's the way we will achieve full and final peace. Shalom. So there is peace all along the way, but there's full and final peace on that great day when we will see Him face to face. For some of us, we don't know. For some of us, that may be sooner rather than later. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the King. People of God, trust in the Lord, our rock, our ruler, and our redeemer. Let's pray. Oh Lord, indeed you are our rock. And we stand firmly on you, for we have no other foundation. We have no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Encourage us now. Give us a taste of that shalom that you promise, even today. And help us, O Lord, to build one another up in our most holy faith. And that we pray all these things for the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.